joined. Has joined.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good.
Shavua Tov.
I'm going to go mute because I'm driving.
Understand and thank you.
And I'm going to mute too.
Okay. And I'm going to start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabri hu ishkin peitit kilu urkimu utkilu utkilu urkimu. L'yakta l'shem yud hei papav hei. L'yichud ha-shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. L'imud Torah mitzvah. L'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Elohino aleinu ma'asei yadenu kononei aleinu ma'asei yadenu kononeihu. The first aliyah, or the double portion of Tazria Metzora. It begins with Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1, and completes at chapter 13, verse 23. This is a total of 31 verses. And we know the number 31 is the name of God, El, Aleph Lamed. And this is a name that is connected to Chachma. Chapter 12, verse 1. Vaydaber Adonai yo hey wahe ladanu yo yo wahe da wanu hey yo el Moshe lehimor gaber el bnei Yisrael lehimor ishaki tazria Ve'alda zahar v'tama shivat yamim ki menidat yota titma uvayom hashmini yimo basar arlato ush li ushloshim Yom Ushloshet Yamim Teshev Bidme Tahara B'Kol Kodesh Lo Tiga Wiel HaMikdash Lo Tavo Ad Melovat Me Tahara
Has joined.
In the Keva Teled with Tama Shavuayim Kenidata Wishishim Yom Wisheshet Yamim Teshev Aldeme Tahara Uvim Loet Yeme Tahara Levain olevatavio keves ben shenato leola uven Eva, Weim Lotim Tayada De, Sevilaha Shate Torim, Oshane Bene Yona Ehad, Leola Wehad Lahata. Keeper Alecha Hakohen Mutahera Waida Bear Adonai Yo Hey Wahe Adanu Yo Yo Aheda Wanu Hey Yo El Moshe We El Aharon Le Mor Adam Ki Pasaro Seit O Sapachat O Vacheret Vechayale Or Pasaro Lenegasaraat Wehuva El Aharon Hakohen O El Ahad Mibanav Akohanim Wira aha kohen et hanega beor paha basar vishe arba nega afach lavan umare hanega amok meor besaro nega tara at uwira ahu Akohen v'timeoto, v'imbacheret levana hi bior basaro, v'yamok ein mareha min haor usara lo hafach levan v'hizkir. Hakohen et hanega shivat yamin Weraahu hakohen bayom hashbi Vehine hanega amad beinav lo fasa hanega Baor v'hiskiro Hakohen shivat Yamim shenim V'ra'a hakohen Oto v'ayom Ashvish shenit V'hine keha Anega v'lo fasa Anega baor v'tiharo Hakohen bispachat Hi v'ki besbegadav v'tacher V'im pasa V'im pas Tifse ha-mispachat Ba'or acharei he-ra'oto El ha-kohen l'tah-ha-ra'to V'nira-shenit el ha-kohen V'ra'a ha-kohen v'hine pasta ha-mispachat Ba'or v'timo ha-kohen tzara'at Hi nega tzara'at Hi tihye ba'adam Wehuva el ha-kohen Wera'a ha-kohen Hi wehine se'et Levana baor Behiyo ha-kasear Lavanu michyat Basar chai Bas et Tzara'at Noshenet He beor besaro letimo hakohen lo yaski renu kitame hu wein paroa tifrach hatzaraat la or the kista hatzaraat et kol or anega me rosho biad raglau le kol mare ene hakohen vira hakohen vihine kista hatzaraat et kol besaro viti ared hanaka kulo hafach lavan tahorhu uvayom he raot bo basar haitma vera'a hakohen et habasar Ahai betimo abasar hahai tamehu daraat hu o kiyashu abasar hahai venechpach lelavan uva el hakohen wirahu hakohen Wehine nepach vehanega lelavan vetihar hakohen et hanega tahorhu uvasar kihie vovioro shechin venirpa vichayabim kom Ashkin se et levanao vecheret levana adam damet venira el hakohen vira'a hakohen vehine marecha satcha fal min haor usara hafach lavan vetimo Hakohen nega tzara'at hi, lashpin paracha ve'im yirena, hakohen ve'hine en ba'se'ayar, se'ar lavan v'shpala. Einena min ha'or, ve'hi keha ve'hiskiro, Hakohen shivat yamin, v'im pas tifseh ba'or v'timei hakohen oto negahi. V'im tachtecha ta'amod habacheret lo pasata tzarevet. Hashkin hiveti haro hakohen. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. You heard a lot of words that were kohen. A lot of discussion of what is the kohen to do in terms of the tzaarat. In terms of the spiritual disease that manifests on the skin. Now for the English translation. Chapter 12, verse 1. And Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, If a woman conceives and gives birth to a male, she shall be unclean for 7 days. As in the days of her menstrual flow, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of the skin shall be unclean. 33 days she shall remain in the blood of purity.
Has joined.
For 33 days she shall remain in the blood of purity. She shall not touch anything holy, nor may she enter the sanctuary, until the days of her purification have been completed. So the question needs to be asked. She's given birth to a boy. She's unclean for 7 days, and then she's unclean for an additional 33 days. Is there a difference in the two sections? And the answer is yes. Because in one, she is impure due to the blood of menstrual flow. That's the 7 days. But then she's 33 days impure due to the blood of purity. What is blood of purity? Menstrual flow, we know, comes from the lack of a child that was had an opportunity to be conceived and was not. That is the purpose of the menstrual flow. So it's a form of judgment. There was an opportunity to bring a child. It was not brought. And therefore, it's a judgment. But blood of purity means that it's blood coming from the right column. Now, I'm not a woman, and I'm not aware of what's involved with breastfeeding. I do know that the Torah has said that the milk of a woman that she feeds her baby with comes from being transformed from blood. And so this 33 days may be a connection to that process. That is my guess. It is not something I have read or heard. But I don't understand the term, the blood of purity. That's what I'm raising the question about. Verse 5. And if she gives birth to a female, she shall be unclean for 2 weeks, like her menstruation period. And for 66 days, she shall remain in the blood of purity. Now, why is there a difference between the male and the female babies with respect to the impurity associated with childbirth? And why is it double for a woman, double for a girl, and then for a boy? And when the days of her purification had been completed, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a sheep in its first year as a burnt offering, and a young dove or a turtle dove as a sin offering, to the entrance of the tent of meeting to the Kohen. So the explanation in the Talmud for why does a woman have to bring a sin offering after having a baby? What sin did she do? And the Talmud's explanation is very chauvinistic. It says in the moments of her pain, of her childbirth pain, she is going to be cursing her husband for bringing her to this state. And that is the sin that she does, and that every woman does. Obviously, as I said, I'm not a woman. I've never experienced the pain of childbirth. So I can't say. And even if a woman does not express it, Is she thinking it? I really don't know. But it does. We need to understand why she brings a sin offering. We understand why she's bringing in an elevation offering, which is the burnt offering. That makes perfect sense. Because she wants to reconnect to Hashem. She wants to bring gratitude to Hashem for the child. But why is it specifically a sheep? We know the sheep is that negative animal. We've discussed it frequently, especially associated with Pesach. She has to bring a sheep. Well, what if she can't afford a sheep? Well, she can bring a meal offering in replacement of the sheep. But why does the Torah say specifically she needs to bring a sheep? It's teaching us about the consciousness of selfish, which is associated with childbirth. And as I said, I don't know that that's true, but I can't explain it in any other way. And he shall offer it up before Hashem. This is the Kohen. Will offer it up before Hashem and effect atonement for her. And thus she will be purified from the source of her blood. And this is a law of a woman who gives birth to a male or to a female. So her offering is the same, whether it's a male or a female. But her blood of purity is twice as long for a female. It's really not clear why that is. And if she cannot afford a sheep, she shall take two turtle doves or two young doves. One is a burnt offering and one is a sin offering. And the Kohen shall effect atonement for her, and she shall become clean. And if she could not afford a burnt offering or a sin, or if she could not afford two turtle doves or two young doves, she would reflect. She could bring a meal offering. But again, it doesn't answer. Why not say this in the same verse? Why separate them into two different verses that are separated by one or two other verses? Chapter 13. We are now going to move into the concept of the taharat, the spiritual disease that manifests in the physical body on the surface of the skin. And Hashem spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, if a man has a seit, or a sapachat, or a bacheret on the skin of his flesh, and it forms a lesion of tzaharat on the skin of his flesh, he shall be brought to Aaron the cook, the Kohen, or to one of his sons, the Kohanim. The Kohen shall look at the lesion on the skin of his flesh, and hair in the lesion has turned white, and the appearance of the lesion is deeper than the skin of his flesh. It is a lesion of tzaharat. When the Kohen sees this, he shall pronounce him unclean. Now, in verse 2, we had those three different Hebrew words that we don't know how to translate, otherwise we would have translated. In the Aramaic translation, the Targum, they are translated in different ways, which was not brought here. But it's really saying that there are four different ways to perceive the tzaharat, perceive the illness. One is a lesion or a white skin on the darker skin, or darker black skin on lighter skin. And it has a hair in the middle of it. The other three levels, one is an elevated mole, so to speak. One is a depressed mole, so to speak. And the third one, I'm really not clear in my own mind what it means or what the discussion is about. Continuing, the main focus is that you must go to a Kohen, not a doctor, but to a priest, because it's a spiritual disease, and only the priest can determine. And you're not unclean until the priest pronounces you unclean. And that's an important distinction. Verse 4. But if it is a white baheret on the skin of his flesh, and its appearance is not deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, the Kohen shall quarantine the lesion for 7 days. So what it's saying for a baheret, it's that it's on the surface of the skin, it has a hair in the middle of it, and the hair is still black, it has not turned white. So the Kohen cannot determine if it's taharat. So he quarantines the person for 7 days to give the taharat a chance to turn white. Verse 5, on the seventh day, the Kohen shall see him, and behold, the lesion has remained the same in its appearance. The lesion has not spread on the skin. So the Kohen shall quarantine for 7 days a second time. Again, there's been no change in the lesion, so he is quarantined now for 14 days. But it's the idea of letting the lesion mature. Let's see what it is. I can't tell what it is so far, meaning I, the priest. Verse 6, and the Kohen shall see him on the seventh day a second time. And behold, the lesion has become dimmer, and the lesion has not spread on the skin. The Kohen shall pronounce him clean. It is a mishpachat. He shall immerse his garments and become clean. So if the lesion doesn't grow, spread on the skin, and if it becomes dimmer, it's not as dark, or it's not as white, the Kohen says he's clean. It's not a taharat. However, if the mishpachat spreads on the skin after it has been shown to the Kohen for its purification, it'll be shown to the Kohen a second time. The Kohen shall look at it, and behold, the mishpachat has spread on the skin. The Kohen shall pronounce him unclean. It is taharat. So the separation for 2 weeks did not take effect. There was not any teshuvah. That's essentially what's being said in these few verses. Verse 9, if a man has a lesion of taharat, and he shall be brought to the Kohen. The Kohen shall look at it, and behold, there is a white seit on the skin, and either it has turned the hair white, or there is healthy live flesh in the seit. It is old sara'at on the skin of his flesh, and the Kohen shall pronounce him unclean. He need not quarantine him because he is unclean. So we have a lesion that is from a previous Taharat. It's a previous disease. He's been pronounced clean, but now it seems to have come back. But he doesn't need to be quarantined. It's not that severe. It's not going to spread to other people. That's why he's not quarantined. Verse 12. And if the tzara'at has spread over the skin, whereby the tzara'at covers all the skin of the lesion from his head to his feet, wherever the eyes of the Kohen can see it, then the Kohen shall look, and behold, the tzara'at has covered all his flesh. He shall pronounce the person with the lesion clean. He has turned completely white. He is clean. The person has done teshuvah, and the way it's identified is because his skin has all been covered with these moles, with these lesions, but they're white. There's not hairs in them. Verse 14, but on the day that live flesh appears in it, he shall become unclean. So he's done his teshuvah, his skin has turned white, but now it comes again. He becomes unclean again. When the Kohen sees the healthy live flesh, he shall pronounce him unclean. The live flesh is unclean, it is taharat. But if the healthy live flesh once again turns white, he shall come to the Kohen. And the Kohen shall look at it, and behold, the lesion has turned white. The Kohen shall pronounce the lesion clean. He is clean, meaning his teshuvah has been accepted. If flesh has an inflammation on its skin and it heals, and on the place of the inflammation there is a white seit or a reddish-white baheret, it shall be shown to the Kohen. The Kohen shall look, and behold, its appearance is lower than the skin, and its hair has turned white. So the Kohen shall pronounce him unclean. It is a lesion of tzara'at that has erupted on the inflammation. This is a lesion that is below the skin. It's not on the same level as your skin. But if the Kohen looks at it, and behold, it does not contain white hair, nor does it appear to be lower than the skin, and it is dim, the Kohen shall quarantine him for 7 days. The Kohen cannot really determine if it's tzara'at or not, but he separates the person. He quarantines him, giving him the opportunity to do teshuvah. Verse 22. And if it spreads on the skin, the Kohen shall pronounce him unclean. It is a lesion. But if the baharat remains in its place, not spreading, it is the scar tissue of the inflammation, and the Kohen shall pronounce him clean. That is the end of the English translation, the end of our commentary, and we're out of time. Does anybody have any questions? While you're unmuting yourself, there are two more classes today. One is at 10:30 West Coast time, where we will be discussing the holidays on Wednesday and Thursday, reminding you that our Rosh Chodesh connection is tomorrow night, Monday night, at 7 p.m. West Coast time. Our 3 o'clock class, we will count the Omer, as well as study the Psalm. Reminding you that Monday morning, we will not be studying the second Aliyah. We will do the second and third Aliyah on Tuesday. I have a doctor's appointment and I have to cancel both the 7 o'clock class and the 11 o'clock class. But we will have the Deep Zohar and the counting of the Omer, and we will have the Rosh Chodesh ER connection at 7 p.m. Counting of the Omer will take place at 7 at 4 p.m. Are there any questions? I wish you all a beautiful week, Shavua Tov. Shalom Gadol. Much peace and serenity in your life. Shalom.
Shalom, thank you.
Shalom, thanks. Thank you.
Shalom.